This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
To open up and join me in 2 Peter chapter 3. We're going to be looking primarily at a couple of verses out of what Brother Keith read to us. And so we're in 2 Peter chapter 3, and we will be jumping around a bit. So if you do have a bookmark handy, you can have that ready because we'll be jumping around. The title of the message is, I Wonder If I'm Growing. I Wonder If I'm Growing. This was our first long trip with Finney. We have never gone long distance with him before, and spending most of our day driving on the road. So in preparation for the long haul, Alicia put together a collection of audiobooks and CDs with children's songs and hymns and simple toys that would keep Finney preoccupied as we drove these endless miles. And the mindset going in would be that Finney would get tired of one particular thing, and so he'd want to move on to the next thing, so we'd have all these options available to him. Little did we expect that my son would be perfectly content listening to the same CD over and over again, day after day. How many of you have ever heard of the man by the name of Raffi? Okay, I got a few hands there. So Raffi is this guy with a guitar who sings simple children's songs. His later years got kind of weird, but his earlier stuff would be like Ba Ba Black Sheep and The Wheels on the Bus and When We All Get Together and whatnot. And there was this one Raffi CD that I think we listened to about 40 times total going on this trip. We asked Finney, would you like this or that? Can we listen to the Raffi CD? I think, yeah, I have Willoughby Wallaby Woo stuck in my head. I'm singing it before I go to sleep, so. But there's one song on that CD that really got me thinking while we were traveling along. Because when you're driving a lot, you tend to think a lot. You have a lot of time to think, hopefully while you're paying attention. And the one song that Raffi sang was called, I Wonder If I'm Growing. And I'll read to you the words. I wonder if I'm growing. I wonder if I'm growing. My mom says, yes, I'm growing, but it's hard for me to see. My mom says, eat your sandwich. It will make you grow up tall. But when I eat my sandwich, I'm hardly bigger at all. And I wonder if I'm growing. I wonder if I'm growing. My mom says, yes, I'm growing, but it's hard for me to see. My mom says, wash your hands now. Then you can go out and play. Hey, I can reach the tap now for the very first time today. And I think I must be growing. Oh, I know I'm really growing. My mom says, yes, I'm growing. And now I know it's true. It's a cute song. It just, the words are simple, but they're profound. When I heard that song and heard it again, 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 I asked myself, I wonder if I'm growing. Are you growing in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you look back over the years and see an actual difference in your relationship with God? Are you closer or farther to God? Are you more or less familiar with His Word? Is your prayer time with the Lord growing in its life and vibrancy, or is it becoming more cold and stagnant? These are all questions that I was asking myself as I was listening to Raffi on a vacation. Are we growing? Typically in church circles, to ask the question, are we growing, we tend to think in terms of numbers and assets. You know, is the membership growing? Are the number of participants in this or that program growing? Are our bank accounts growing? But when you read in the Bible about growth, The focus more is on a person or group's relationship with God and growth in holiness with Him. I know that when you hear this song, the words are cute. I wonder if I'm growing. I eat a sandwich, I'm growing. But really, if you think about it, the question is not cute. To ask yourself, I wonder if I'm growing, it's not cute. It's dead serious. Because it became very clear in recent years, months, weeks, days, that we live in a time where things are radically changing. And it may be the case that in a relatively short period of time, things will look radically different. And the last thing we need right now are a bunch of believers in America who have been going to church and doing the Christian thing for decades now and have not grown and are not growing. Baby Christians who should be mature will not survive a satanic, street smart world. Won't do it. We need maturity. We need to be mature, fully grown men and women, warriors in Christ. So I'm wondering, are we growing? Are you growing into maturity? Am I growing into maturity? This is the exhortation that Peter gives us in his epistle. If you look in 2 Peter, Peter has taken great lengths at this point. I know we're at the end of the letter, but throughout most of the letter, Peter has taken great lengths to warn us of false teachers, warn us of Satan's servants who infiltrate the church and try to lead the church astray. And in verse 14, he talks about looking forward to the end of the ages, when the day of the Lord will come, new heavens and new earth. He says, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the Lord's long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Also, our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. So he's referring to Paul's writings. And he says, also in all his epistles, speaking them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand. So he's admitting that Paul's writings are difficult, but look what he says. Untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. So he's warning the church of people who are twisting the scriptures for their own ungodly purposes. We need to be aware of the fact that people in our day and age are twisting the word of God to suit their own ungodly agendas. So we need to be very familiar with God's word. Verse 17 now. You therefore, beloved, here it is. Since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall away from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. So Peter is warning the church, saying, you be aware of this, lest you fall away. And in order to do this, verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. Grow. You want to be safe so that you don't fall away, so that you're not led away? Grow. If you want to be effective in this world, if you want to be a faithful follower of Christ, grow. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord. Am I growing? Are you growing? So what I'd like to do is take a moment and focus on just the concept of growing, using some of what's here, but we'll be jumping around some. What do we need to know about growing in our walk with the Lord? There's a couple of hindrances to growth that we'd like to talk about, but two things we need to say before we talk about the hindrances and the evidences of growth. There's two things about growing in your walk with the Lord that you need to know. The first is this: the ultimate fulfillment of our growth is guaranteed by God. If you have put your faith, hope, and trust in Christ alone for your salvation, and you've been born again, and you've repented of your sins. It's all in His hands. You've been saved. God has seen to it that He ultimately will finish His work of growing you. Okay? There is that aspect there. Look, if you will, in Philippians chapter 1. Just put your finger there, the bookmark there, and jump back to Philippians chapter 1. And you see this promise that Paul gives us in the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. I was at the church that I first heard the gospel. I was not saved in, but I heard the gospel. The pastor told me, told the church that this verse was one of his favorite verses. He wrote it there, and it's in verse 6, but we'll go back to verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you always, in every prayer of mine, making request for you with all joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident, here it is in verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you. So if you're saved, if you've trusted in Christ, He has begun a good work in you. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. So there is a promise that God has given you that if you've trusted in Him, you're His handiwork, and there's an aspect of your growth that He will guarantee. Well, what is that? How does that work itself out? Look, if you will, we get pretty deep here in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. There's this interesting set of promises that we see here. Some have called this the golden chain of salvation. There are links in a chain that cannot be broken. In Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 28. We all know this verse. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. So if you have put your faith and hope in God and you're lovingly seeking to follow Him, God works everything in your life together for your good. And then there's this link that starts in verse 29. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. So if God foreknew you, there's this link that begins here in verse 30. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. Whom He justified, these He also glorified. There's a chain which each link is connected. Now, there are many debates as to what these terms mean, but we can all agree that if you put your faith in Christ, you become a part of this unbreakable chain in which God has begun a work. He's called you, justified you. He's going to glorify you. You will be in heaven glorified, perfected in Him. Amen to that. Amen. Because we're train wrecks by ourselves. And God has promised that there's going to be a finished work. It's kind of like if you think about it this way. When you're born, there's this inevitable process, unless you're being denied food or water, there's this inevitable process that you're going to grow. Okay? I'm amazed. He's 2 and a half. It's just from when, the day he was born, this little baby, and now he's walking, talking, and singing, and it's amazing to see physical growth happen, and here we are today. I was at the jail this past week. And we were talking among the midst, there were many ages sitting about the table, and we all admitted that there was this unique change that happened in our lives. When 17, 18, it seems like every year is a lifetime. When you're 18 and you're 19, each year just seems like a whole lifetime. You hit 20, that's what's going on here. And we all admitted when you hit 25, it's something about 25, there's this shift. And suddenly the years just start multiplying and going rapidly. And I'm 33, I can attest to it. But there's this growth, there's this movement that happens that we really don't have any control over. We do in a sense of decisions we make, but you get the point. There's this process that happens. It's the same thing with your faith. There's this inevitable growing that God is working in you. Praise the Lord for that. However, not only is that true, that the ultimate fulfillment of our growth is guaranteed, but secondly, look at this. Our rate of growth is conditioned by our faith response to God's work in our life.
I'm going to say that again.
Our rate of growth is conditioned by our faith response to God's work in our life. We have been given by God a certain set of responsibilities so that we can stunt our growth. However, we can also welcome our growth. There are aspects of our growth that are dependent and conditioned upon how we respond to the grace of God in our lives. That's why you read in the scriptures about people being called babes in Christ, though they should be mature. Because they made decisions that stunted their growth when they should have been growing up in the Lord. We can stunt our growth. Look, if you will, if you're in... we can go back to 2 Peter, to our verse here, 2 Peter, and look at verse 17. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness. So there is a warning there that God is giving us that we can fall from the position that we are in. And that word fall can also be used to describe a withering, which is the opposite of growth. Because Peter uses the same exact word, if you jump back to 1 Peter chapter 1, he uses the same word for falling in reference to a plant. He says, since you, in verse 22 of chapter 1, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth of the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. Because, here it is, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is a flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls. Same word. So what Peter is warning us, let me finish it here. The word of God endures forever. Amen. But Peter is warning us that we can wither. If you think about it, with a plant in a garden, a lot of people have gardens flourishing right now. A plant is either growing or it's withering. A plant doesn't reach a point and stop. It's either growing or it's withering and shriveling. It's either producing or it's failing. The same with us. Decisions we make can stunt our growth. I'm really upset with our society pushing upon kids who don't know the difference because they haven't been taught who they are, who God has made them as a boy or a girl, that doctors are coming and will give you these puberty blockers. Take this pill. It'll stunt your growth. I'm just frustrated by that because God created them unique and beautiful, and He created this process of their growing and development, and because this is being imposed on them, it's stunting it. And there are things that are being irreparably done to them. We need to grow, but we can stop that growth. We can take our own spiritual blockers, if you will, to stunt the work of God. But if we yield to the grace of God and His work in our lives, He will grow us. We can yield ourselves to God so that we do flourish. We do produce fruit. We are growing in our faith in Christ. In 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter talks about how we have been given everything necessary to grow. Everything. Look, as he says in verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Look at this. Circle this verse, if you will, these couple of verses. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We have access by God everything we need to grow. His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And then he talks about this growth process here in verse 5. Look, if you will. For this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith, the growth there, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. And look at verse 8. If these things are yours and abound, grow, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you access
the bounty, the endless bank account, the ocean, endless ocean grace that God has available for you. You can grow in the Lord and you can be fruitful, and God has given you access to all things. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, we've covered those first two. A, there is a part of our growth that God has entrusted will happen. B, some of this is dependent on how we respond to God. So what, I'm going to ask now, what are some of the hindrances to growth, and how can we overcome them? The first hindrance that I think of when I was praying about this came to mind, and it should be talked about. We should just be point blank. One of the reasons when you look at churches or you look at individual lives or you think about yourself, one of the reasons why there is no growth in your walk with the Lord is because a person has not been born again. You can't grow if you haven't been born again. Only born people grow. Non-born people don't grow because they're not born. It's pretty simple. You don't have a three-year-old unborn. And so it could be the case that maybe somebody's not growing because they haven't truly yielded to God and been born again. Look, if you will, how Jesus puts it in John chapter 3. You all know this dialogue between Nicodemus and Jesus. Nicodemus goes to Jesus at night, and he knows, he acknowledges that Jesus is a teacher, and he's a man of God in a sense. He understands the law, but Jesus teaches us something that's very important. There was a man by the name of Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said, "Jesus, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God. No one can do these signs unless you acknowledge God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus says, "How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time into the mother's womb?" No, Nicodemus. "Unless one is born both of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He cannot see the kingdom of God." I have a legacy of planting sweet corn. Every single year I try and something goes wrong. It's just I'm actually entertained by it now. Like, oh, what's going to happen this year? Squirrels? Beetles? Eat the corn before? This year, I had a bunch of sweet corn that was older sweet corn, and I took a risk. So I spent the time, I made the rows. I put the string so it was a straight line. I planted them. I had the stick of measuring and got it a half an inch deep and went the whole way. We had plenty of rain. Everything was set up. 1 week. 2 weeks. 3 weeks. Nothing. There was no growth. Why? Because it wasn't born. It was an old seed that was too far gone. I had to plant new seeds, and even then I only got half. Some people are not growing, and that's a big problem in churches today. You look at the issue, and it's like, why is there so much immorality? Why are these people who call themselves Christians engaging in these things in the government, engaging in these things in the culture, and being okay with this kind of ideology and this and that? It's because they're not born again. They don't have the Spirit. They haven't had the God-changing transformation in their hearts to have the new birth in which they suddenly have their eyes open and their ears attentive to the truth. So we must ask ourselves, maybe you look at your own life and you're wondering, you know, I look past in the years, I've been going to church, but there's just no life in my life. There's no spiritual vitality. Maybe I'm not born again. And you come to God and say, "God, I'm not born again. Forgive me, I've been trying to do this on my own. I humble myself, I repent of my self-works, I trust in you." And there's this birth. And you grow. So we have to cover that. Second obstacle for these now, we're talking about believers. So an obstacle to growing is not, here it is, we are not keeping a close relationship with our Lord throughout the day. Look how Peter grounds growth in 2 Peter in our verse here, chapter 3, verse 18. One of the reasons we're not growing is because we're not keeping a close relationship with our Lord throughout the day. Here he says, "Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Grow in what?
the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you're going to grow, if I'm going to grow, it must be entirely in our connection to the person of Jesus Christ. We can't grow outside of Christ. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. A branch does not grow when it is detached from the vine. And so we, in our own growth, we must maintain and keep a close fellowship and intimate relationship with our Lord. And listen now, this is more than just make sure you check off your morning devotions. Yes, pray in the morning, read your Bible. This is more than say your prayers at night. This is maintain and cherish and cultivate an intimate fellowship with Jesus throughout your day, moment by moment. There is incredible exponential growth that will happen in your life when you literally submit to Christ and recognize His presence with you, yield to Him, communicate, pray throughout the day. Real relationship with the living Savior. Do you have it?
I remember seeing for the first time people who had planters on their deck and stuff, and there would be this glass ball stuck in the soil, and I never knew what it was. I thought it was a decoration. And I wondered, what is this? And then I saw when you go to the store and you're in the garden section, they'd have these balls with a long, narrow tube that comes next to it. And I wondered, what is this? And then I came to find out what it is. It's an ability to water your plants steadily throughout the day. You fill it with water, you stick it in the soil, and slowly throughout the day, the water comes out and nourishes the plant. And you and I, by the Holy Spirit, have access to living water, brothers and sisters, living water. Not just you get a gulp in the morning and you have a good swig at night, but throughout the day, God is nourishing you and growing you. You're growing tomatoes and it's coming out because the water's coming into your roots because you're maintaining that fellowship with Him throughout the day. Do you have it? Do we have that? Close relationship. Without it, we don't grow. So you have to ask yourself, am I seeking to keep this fellowship with Christ day by day, moment by moment, not just checking off my devotion box? Thirdly, another obstacle to growth that I think of here is that we're not learning about what our rabbi teaches it to us in his word. And this is a big one that Peter is addressing because he's saying people are twisting Paul's writings. I'm telling you ahead of time. You keep your connection to Christ, your rabbi will help you see the error and the deceit. He says, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, what? Those in verse 16 who are twisting the scriptures. And so a hindrance to growth is that we are not sitting at the feet of Jesus, growing in His teaching, reading His words, studying it, being able to know right from wrong through how He has given it to us. Look at how the writer of Hebrews puts it. If you go back a couple of books to Hebrews chapter 5, in verse 12, the writer of Hebrews is bemoaning his audience because he's saying, you've known this truth for a while, you should be teachers. But look in verse 12, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. You see the growth there? That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. So this is something we can exercise to discern both good and evil. As when we become Christians, typically we don't have a deep understanding of all the full counsel of God that He wants to show us in the Scriptures. As we grow in our walk with the Lord, we want to study this and grow in this understanding so that we can discern right from wrong. And there's some things that are just too much for us to comprehend. And if we're a babe in Christ, we just believed in Christ, you don't take a helping of steak and stuff it down their mouth. You give them milk, and they grow, and then they're ready. And what Hebrews is saying is that there are these Christians who have been Christians for a while and they're still drinking from a bottle. How awkward would it be you to walk in a restaurant and see a fully grown, mature person and they order a bottle of milk and they suck in the bottle of milk for their meal? Something's wrong. And he's saying mature believers grow in their understanding of God's word. All of you patriots out there, what's one of the best ways to know whether you see something going corrupt in our legislative process? The person next to you says that it's corrupt. It's corrupt. What do? You go back to the Constitution and you see, okay, I see here it's supposed to be this way. You're doing that way. Something's wrong. As believers, the Bible is our Constitution for everything. Our whole lives. And we need to study it and be aware so that we can discern and grow. Test everything against the scriptures like the Bereans. These are obstacles to growth, and God by his grace can help us to overcome. Amen? So, not being born again, not keeping a close relationship, not learning what the Lord teaches us in his word. Another one here. This one is a little unique. It's found in James chapter 1. So if you're in Hebrews, you can jump ahead to James chapter 1, and look, if you will, in verses 5 to 8. I'll jump back here to verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now here it is. If any of you lacks wisdom... So you need guidance, you need direction, you need wisdom from God. Let him ask of God who gives liberally. Okay? In this aspect, God is liberal. When you need wisdom from God, he's liberal. He gives liberally and without reproach, and it will be given him. But look here. That growth in wisdom comes on how you trust him in that moment. Let him ask in faith. With no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. So the obstacle is this, that we are not trusting God to guide us in our circumstances. When God puts us in a trial, when God puts us in a difficult situation, if we are not trusting God to guide us through that circumstance, then we're not going to grow. We must humble ourselves before the Lord and literally, completely come before God and ask him in faith, God, I need wisdom to know what to do in this circumstance. The Bible says if you ask that in faith, you will be given wisdom, praise the Lord. He will give it to you. But if you come before the Lord and you say, yeah, God, I'm praying about this because it's difficult, and would you just kind of do something about it? And now I'm going to go try to make the best of it. You're going to be blown, tossed to and fro like a ship in the sea. The best way for God to guide us through and to know what to do in our difficulties is to go through them on our knees. Amen? We are trusting God. That's a part of growth. You need a compass. If you're lost in the woods, you need a compass. And God's wisdom given to you will be that compass. Fifth obstacle for growth here. We're moving along quickly. This comes, and it uses the idea of babes in Christ here, from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Turn, if you will, back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. An obstacle to our growing in the Lord. Jump back. I keep jumping back to chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. The Corinthians were not growing. They were not mature. They were babies. But they should have been mature. How did that happen? He said, I fed you with milk, not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. Even now you are still not able. Why? Because they are carnal. For where, here it is, look at this, watch now. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? So here it is, an obstacle to grow is when we live a carnal, self-centered life. Self-centered life is an obstacle to growth. Think about, it's simple. Think about the growth of a child. When that child is born, they are interested in nothing else but their own survival. They cry, they want milk. They cry when they're uncomfortable and need to be changed in their diaper. There's this self-centered focus, and it's normal. But as they grow up, all of a sudden they start thinking, Mommy, Daddy, brother, sister. And now they have to learn how to interact with others around them. They reach a point where they learn they have to share. They can't just keep it for themselves. They reach a point when there is a world around them. It's not just their immediate family, but their extended family. You bring them to church and they realize there's a church and there's others in the world. And as they grow and mature to full adulthood, they learn that they are a little drop in the bucket of people in the world. And God has called them to serve God and serve others. And it becomes a selfless living for Christ. Amen. What happens is, we stunt our growth because we've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's still, we don't end up thinking about others in our service. We end up thinking about ourselves. And so we think about our pleasures, our plans, our purposes, and we end up causing these divisions because we're only considered about ourselves and our own growth. And there is, as Paul puts it, envy. Where does that come from? Selfishness, strife, divisions. Why? There is a babe in Christ who should be mature. The way to overcome is to realize that God has called us to live a spirit, selfless, centered life. When God has called us to think about how we can use our life to promote God's purposes, how we can use our life to help those around us. And the body of Christ is equipped to do that. In Ephesians chapter 4, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up, the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God, that we should no longer be children or growing up. No longer children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, here it is, may grow up into all things, into him who is the head, Christ. He supplies the joint, knit together with every supply, effective, working, by which every part does its share. Here it is, causing the growth of the body for the edifying of itself. There is a unique calling for you and I to grow each other. You know, there are things sometimes that might be taught, that might be preached, that might be said to another in the church. And it's probably going to hurt. It may rub us the wrong way. But perhaps it is something that God is using to grow us. Perhaps God is using that truth to help us in our walk with him. Growing sometimes is painful. We call it growing pains. And it can be difficult sometimes in our growth to endure that. But sometimes it's for our benefit and for our good. And that leads to the final obstacle to growth that I'd like to share with you. It comes just from God working in our circumstances. The final, sixth and final obstacle to growth is that we are not handling our trials and temptations in a more Christ-like fashion. The writer of Hebrews tells us that God is like to you, like a father is to their child. And sometimes a father has to discipline their child so that they can grow.
In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 to 11, have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons? My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of whom all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness.
I want you to think for a moment here. Think of the last major crisis that God allowed in your life. If you can't think of a major crisis that you have not allowed in your life, check your pulse. You're not alive. Think of that last major crisis. Now, God allowed this in your life. Now, think back to how you handled it. How did you handle it? Maybe at some point in handling this major crisis, God showed you something that you handled it in a wrong way. You shouldn't have done that. He wanted you to do this, or he wanted you to react this way. You didn't. You overreacted, or you just immediately came forth from your flesh. You were not swift to listen, slow to speak. It was the opposite. Here's a sign of growth. Here it is. Listen now. When God allows a similar crisis to come, because it will come, do you handle it differently? Or do you handle it in the same old way? That's a sign of growth. Think of a temptation you endure. Whether it be an inward thing like lust or these pleasure things, or whether it be just a temptation of pride, or whether any temptation that you know God and you are working on. When God places you in that temptation, listen now. Say you fail. Say, dear God, I gave in, I failed, I'm sorry. Forgive me, I repent. When God allows that temptation to come again, if there is no growth in your fight against that temptation, if there is no sign of God working victory over that temptation, then there's no growth. Now, I'm not saying we're going to just be completely perfect and victorious over everything. No, as God gives you victory in one area, he's going to show you some other area that you weren't aware of, you see. The struggles that I deal with when I first became a Christian in 19, I don't necessarily deal with anymore. I got other things. But if you are not growing in the area God is working you in, yielding to him in that moment, asking him for guidance, growing in him, then it's stunting that. It's stunting that. So what we need to do in the moment of crisis, in the moment of temptation, ask Almighty God, God, help me in this. Give me victory over this. I want to overcome. He answers those prayers. Did you know that? He supplies what you need in the moment. Did you know that? He gives you the way of escape. Did you know that? No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Are you growing here this morning? Are you growing? God has seen to it that you will grow. He'll finish the work. You'll be glorified in heaven. Struggle of sin will be removed. In the meantime, are you growing? Are you growing in your... Are you born again to begin with? Do you need to ask God to work in your soul to change you and transform you and give you new life? Are you maintaining a close relationship with him throughout the day? Are you growing in his word and what he wants to teach us so that we know how to handle this world around us? Are you trusting God to guide you through your circumstances? Are we living a carnal, self-centered life, or asking God for us to live a spirit-filled, selfless life? Are we asking God to help us through our trials and temptations? You know something? I'll finish with this. We went back to
out east to where we grew up.
And in our travels, we got to see a lot of sights that I cherished growing up as a kid. We got to go down to where I grew up in Hope, Scituate, and see the campground with the dock. We didn't go down there, but we, from a distance, I could see the place where I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ on June 14, 2010. Amen. And I looked at that spot, and you know something? I remembered it. It was the same spot. It was still there. But something about it was different. Something was different. And then we drove, we got to go around Rhode Island and see different sites. We drove through the area that Alicia and I were when we were married, and same sites, same places. There were things that changed, but something felt different. Something was different. And then we went camping for a little while. We went to a campground in Plymouth, Massachusetts, where Alicia and I had gone for our one-year anniversary. And we got to see the same sights that we swim in the same lake. That same raft was out there, floating out there that we could jump off of. I looked at it and it all came back to memory, but you know something? Something was different. We went through all these sights. And I was talking a little bit with Alicia about this, and I realized what the difference was. The difference wasn't the place. The difference wasn't the object. The difference wasn't even the memory. Do you know what the difference was? I was a different person. My life had changed so much in the past handful of years. I feel like a completely different person. It was almost like I was experiencing it. When you and I get to heaven, I think God, when He grows us, He intends for us so that when we step the threshold into eternity, that we feel more at home in where we're going than looking back at the life that we leave behind. Are you growing in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's all stand. We're going to pray to the Lord. Ask Him to bless us before we're dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank You so much that You have seen to it that You will finish the work You have started. We all understand what it means to stunt growth. Whatever area that I did not cover, we all know. We sometimes allow things to stunt our growth. Heavenly Father, forgive us. Have mercy on us. Show us where we need to draw upon Your grace so that we can grow. We want to have a deeper walk with You. We want to be more effective in the world around us. Show us. I pray, Heavenly Father, for each of us. We all know that area we need to grow in. May Your Holy Spirit do that work. May each one of us grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose name we pray, and all God's people say, Amen.